Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life. You know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Thinking sideways.
I don't understand.
Does not compute.
You never know.
Insufficient data to formulate a reply.
What?
Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways, the podcast that solves unsolvable mysteries.
That's right.
Wait.
That doesn't work if they're unsolvable?
Nope, we solve them anyways.
Okay.
Yep. This week, I'm sorry, I'm Devin. In case you haven't met us before, I'm Devin. Joined.
I'm Joe.
I'm Steve.
And we're going to talk about a mystery. It was a listener suggestion from Bill on Facebook. Thanks, Bill. And we're going to call this one, What's the Frequency, Kenneth?
Really?
That's an okay name for it, right?
Would say that's an appropriate name for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah. On October 4th, 1986, Dan Rather was walking home in New York City when a man ran up behind him and punched him in the back of the head, which knocked him to the ground. Ground, not floor. And started beating him a little bit. And the man who attacked him demanded, "What's the frequency, Kenneth?" Or, "Kenneth, what's the frequency?"
Mm-hmm. I've heard it
reports
both ways.
Reports differ. Yeah.
Yeah.
As Rather ran, apparently a second man ran after him and continued to try and attack him. Rather ran into a hotel or an apartment building
lobby.
Yeah, I'm
pretty sure it was an apartment.
And I guess fell to the ground and was kicked a number of times before an employee of the apartment complex was able to kind of break the fight up, and the man ran away and wasn't caught. But both men continued to demand throughout the entire beating what they wanted to know what the frequency was from Dan Rather.
Mm.
Weird, right?
I was going to say, that's a very weird thing to continually yell or ask.
Yeah.
But, you know, actually, if you want an excuse to continue the beating, you do want to be asking an unanswerable question.
Yeah, you kind of do.
Yeah. So
I'm just trying to beat the thing out of you. If you would just tell me the answer.
Yeah, I'd gladly stop.
Just
boot,
stop.
Boot, boot.
Yeah. I can't imagine that people don't know who Dan Rather is, but I guess we do have a number of international listeners. So let's talk about Dan Rather for a minute.
All right, Dan.
Yeah? Cool.
Yes.
Dan Rather was born in 1931 and led a pretty uninteresting life until breaking into the broadcast journalism world kind of early September 1961, when he did some unconventional reporting on Hurricane Carla. He was the first reporter to ever use weather scanners on TV. to explain to people where weather patterns were
coming
from.
A weather map that we're used to today.
Yeah, the weather map. Uh-huh. Yeah. They didn't exist. They didn't have the technology to have that on screen. So he actually went to a weather service station and had the camera trained on that to track where Hurricane Carla was going.
Oh, clever.
Granted, he had been a television journalist for a number of years prior to that, but that was kind of his first big claim to fame.
I don't remember when it was, but I know the other notable thing he did is he was one of the reporters that was embedded in Vietnam.
Yeah, he was a war correspondent. And actually that was after he'd kind of had this rise to fame. He moved to New York City in 1962 and started a trial period at CBS. And apparently he didn't fit in very well, but he did end up covering the crash of American Airlines Flight 1, which was a notable crash with a number of notable people on board that died. And it's a bit of an unsolved mystery, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll solve that one.
Later.
Please tell me we're not going into that one, because I'm not prepared for that one.
No. That's a mystery for a different time.
Okay.
He also reported on the JFK assassination, which is another huge unsolved mystery for another time.
Until we tackle it.
We'll solve it. Don't worry, guys.
Because it's not actually unsolvable.
It's not. We will solve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan Rather was assigned to be a White House correspondent for CBS, and then he went on to assignment to Vietnam War, and then he came back and he was assigned the anchor position for CBS Evening News, which is CBS's nightly news segment.
And he also did segments on 60 Minutes also.
Yeah, he did. And he was the anchor on CBS Evening News for 24 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there forever.
Mm.
So, and of course, it was from his position at 60 Minutes that his career kind of came to an implosive end about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we'll get to that
Forged Memo thing.
Do you want to talk about that?
We will, because it comes up in the theories.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. I'm sorry.
We have
some interesting theories.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I sprung something at the last minute on Devin.
Yeah,
so.
I forgot. I totally forgot that I had that written at the end of my script now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, in 1986, this beating happened, and nobody really knew why. Rather was quoted as saying, "I was mugged." He's kind of this very matter-of-fact statement. He says, "I was mugged. I don't know why it happened. I wish I did, but I don't know."
Yeah, classic mugging, except they didn't take his wallet. But,
they didn't. You know. Yeah, well, that was exactly it, is none of the reports have any kind of missing items of any kind, it seems like.
Except
it was just
a few teeth, but I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was maybe his ego was
missing
sure.
A little bruised.
Yeah. A few years later, Dan Rather did identify the man who had been beating him. It gets a little weird in here for me, because in all of the reports I've read, there were two men.
These are the reports from the year it happened.
From the year it happened, there were two men. And then a couple of years later, this other man that I'm about to talk about was arrested. And Dan Rather said, "Oh, yeah, that was the one guy who was beating me." And there's no mention of, "Oh, but there was a second guy who started it," or anything like that. It's just, yeah, that was the guy.
Yeah,
he did it.
Some reports I've heard, it was just one guy beating him, and then the other guy just kind of stood by.
Yeah, but there were two men involved.
Yeah.
And, you know. Anyways, it gets...
Yeah, the second man disappears.
He definitely disappears from the lore, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit in a minute, too. But this man's name was William Tagger.
And that was in 94 when he was identified, too.
Yes. And you may be familiar with that name if you're a weirdo about murders or anything. I don't know. Some of our listeners might be into that sort of stuff.
They're not weirdos. They're just interested in random, unexplained murders.
Yeah. Maybe.
Unprovoked.
Unprovoked is a better word, because this murder was actually explained.
It was pretty random and stupid.
Yeah. In 1994, Tagger attempted to enter the set of The Today Show with a gun. He had like a rifle strapped to his back, and he tried to enter, and the security guard said no, so he got in his car and drove away, and then came back with the rifle and tried to gain entrance again, when one of the men who was on the crew of the Today Show, named Campbell Therone Montgomery, which is the USA version of a Game of Thrones name.
Really?
So, what?
Is it?
It is? I don't watch that show or read books.
God, you guys are the worst. Anyways, Tagger shot Campbell
in the back
a few times
as he was running away
and trying to alert the police, and Campbell died and Tagger was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger was convicted and sentenced in 1996. He was denied parole when he first came up for it in 2007, but he was released in 2010. And I think he lives in New York now.
Yeah, and Dan Rather hasn't been seen since.
That's not true.
I know.
Tell me, Devin, we can save it if it comes up later, but did you want to go into his motivations for that? Or had you intended to?
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that in the
Okay, because there's some very strange WTF moments in his accounts of why he did that. So I just want to make sure.
Oh, yeah. In no uncertain terms, Tiger was a crazy person.
He
still
is. Okay. All right. Just checking.
But
perhaps a person from another parallel universe.
Or maybe something else is going on. But even that, you kind of can say he's crazy.
Yeah.
So that... I know we usually talk for like an hour about what happened and then briefly talk about theories, but
not a lot happened in this case.
Not a lot happened, so we're going to talk about theories.
Yeah. Oh, wait, are you warning our listeners that this is going to be a short show?
Well, I don't think it's going to be short. It'll be shorter than last week's.
Let's talk really
slow. Thank goodness for
slow,
that.
Okay, opposite. Yeah.
Let's all talk like Steve.
Yeah. Let's all talk.
One thing I wanted to mention is that Rather found out about it through Tiger's psychiatrist, correct? Because he was forced to see a psychiatrist.
Found out about
after
what?
The murder. Sorry. After the murder, and then that's when Tiger told his psychiatrist that he was the one who had beaten up Dan Rather.
Yes.
In 86.
Reportedly.
And so that is how he found out, is from the psychiatrist.
I have heard that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I do want to raise a red flag on that, though, because I know that there's a limit to patient-client confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, like, if you're going to do harm or you've done a heinous crime, that doesn't apply. But beating the crap out of a news anchor doesn't seem to qualify for violating that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. I mean, it was a crime.
But it's also way outside of the statute of limitations.
Well, I think that we can kind of go into this now. We, as a community group team, sideways, found the transcripts from the parole hearings.
Oh, yeah.
For Tagger, and Dan Rather isn't mentioned anywhere.
No, not at all.
In there, and one would think if they had decided or he had admitted to that attack, that would come up because it was a pretty brutal attack.
Yeah, but he didn't confess it to the police.
He did not.
Only told his
psychiatrist. That's kind of. I agree with Steve. I have some questions about whether or not he ever admitted that he did this.
Or if it was just a psychiatrist trying to get a bump in his popularity for some reason or whatever it may be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when Rather was shown a picture of Tagger, he identified him as being the guy who did it.
And when year was it? Was he shown the photo? Was it 94, 95?
I'm not sure, but it would have been at the earliest 94.
Okay, that's 8 to 10 years later.
Yeah.
I got a question.
You've seen pictures of Tagger, right? I mean, he's not the most unique looking.
He's kind of an odd looking guy, but he's not super unique. No. That's why I question how Rather so instantly said, that's the guy.
But also it's not documented under what process he was shown the picture. Was if it was in a lineup under kind of police supervision or professional supervision, or if the psychiatrist or psychologist was saying, oh yeah, this guy said he beat you up, and Dan Rather looked at it and said, that kind of looks like him. It probably was him. You know, we don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly. Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to bring
up. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind as well. So with that short introduction to this show.
Now we're really going to the theories.
We're really going to theories.
All right, cool.
The first theory ends with a sentence. I swear to God, Joe did not come up with this theory, but he very easily could have. So let's get into that. As we mentioned, Dan Rather was assaulted kind of outside of and then in the entryway of an apartment building, and that somebody who worked there did kind of step in and stop
the
whole
thing.
Yeah. And, you know, most people kind of think that this was just a case of mistaken identity, that somebody, the people who started beating Dan Rather up thought that he was somebody he wasn't, which is fair.
It's possible.
It was kind of in the middle of his meteoric rise to fame, but I guess if you don't watch the news.
People get beat up for all kinds of reasons and get into trouble for mistaken identities all the time.
Yeah.
Sure.
The other thing that this theory relies heavily on is that Dan Rather was hit in the head and he was being beaten up, and that it's totally possible that he misunderstood what the men were yelling at him.
Or misremembered.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
According to this theory, the two men that were beating Dan Rather up were fairly well dressed. I don't know what that means. I've never...
Stylishly?
I don't know if you guys found in the original research versus this theory any mention of the style of clothing that these people were wearing.
I just heard that they were well-dressed, but that was all I heard.
I don't know what even that means.
I never, ever recall seeing that.
Now, apparently, the neighborhood that Dan Rather was in was one of the gayer neighborhoods of Manhattan. Or areas of Manhattan.
Are you saying Rather's gay?
No, I'm not, actually.
Wow.
But I am saying that apparently this was kind of one of those areas at that time. I don't know. It may or may not have been. According to this theory, it totally was.
Yeah, the quote-unquote research around this particular one, I'll call into question.
Yeah.
Just after we've talked about that.
Yeah.
I think it might be kind of made up.
Yeah, but... and apparently, reportedly, Dan Rather being, you know, off-duty for the day, he was wearing jeans and a striped polo and aviator sunglasses and...
Had his hair coiffed.
Yeah, because it's Dan Rather, so probably.
Yeah.
He's a news anchor. Come on, guys. Of course.
Gotta always be at his best.
Yeah, of course.
Where does penny loafers?
Yeah. Anyways, these two men mistook Dan Rather for a man that one of the men's boyfriends was cheating on him with.
Maybe he really was.
Maybe. They mistook Dan Rather for having snuck out of... the boyfriend's apartment.
So he lived in that apartment?
Building.
Building right there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the boyfriend would have lived there.
Mm-hmm.
They beat him in the head, hit him in the head, and Dan Rather ran towards the apartment building again, which just further enraged these men, and they started kicking him, and Dan Rather reportedly said, "You got the wrong guy," which of course... made them think even more that he was the
you
lover.
You liar.
You are such a liar.
You know.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And so what were they saying to him?
Reportedly, they were saying, "What? Is this freak seeing Kenneth?" Which also doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean...
Not really.
What,
that's
this
a
freak?
Weird phrasing.
It's so shoehorned, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely one of those kind of, oh, yeah, this person's going to call this person a freak. It's like, well, you're like beating this man up for being gay with your boyfriend.
It's the jilted lover syndrome.
Yeah, but all like, what an odd choice of words of what? Is this freak seeing Kenneth? Like, what?
Probably not what I would say in that situation.
Not what I would say
well,
either.
Well, okay, so I'm going to do this a number of times with this phrase is try to figure out, because Rather got hit in the head a number of times. So his marbles might have been bouncing around a little
bit. Yeah, and I think saying, "What is this freak seeing Kenneth?" It could have been put into frequency Kenneth. You know, since Dan Rather was in broadcasting, frequency would have been more in his vocabulary than...
That's not where I was going.
Oh.
I'm trying to figure out what the frequency Kenneth could be... translated from if you've got hit in the head a couple of times.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is that it could have been translated from "What is this freak seeing Kenneth?"
And it could have been, "Are you," there's an F word that you can insert yourself, Kenneth.
Yeah.
So if somebody says that, if you say that rapidly, it could, to somebody who's, you know, ears are ringing from being knocked about the head, could kind of sound like that. And again, I know it's not a perfect fit. I understand this. But
I've done
this a lot with this story.
Yeah, I usually think that like the first and the last words are probably pretty close to...
So what are you, F word, Kenneth?
Yeah, or something like that.
Something like that, yes.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's how many times did they say this phrase anyway?
I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows.
It's always called out is just repeatedly. So repeatedly could have been 2 times or 10 times. We
I
don't know.
I suspect it's more than two, but I don't think Dan Rather was able to like say, oh, I was counting while they were beating me.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah.
He's
anyways,
the count from Sesame Street.
I think the reason that this theory sounds exactly like Joe is because it ends with, and I'll quote here, "I'm sure that if the police check the list of tenants in the building, they will find a man named Kenneth. Questioning him should lead to the assailants, and this case will have been resolved."
Yeah.
Unquote.
That sounds exactly like Joe, right?
No, it doesn't. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it does. It's a simple fact. All they have to do is do this one thing, and then they'll solve the case. Yeah, it's so easy.
Find Kenneth, yeah.
Yeah, all you have to do is find Kenneth. Obviously, there was a Kenneth that lived there, and obviously he was gay, and obviously he was cheating on his boyfriend, and obviously the boyfriend just beat the crap out of Dan Rather while yelling, "What is this freak seeing Kenneth?" Obviously, that is the easiest answer to this. Of course it is.
It solves it. It's gay bashing.
Yeah, solved.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so find our email address. Oh, no. Wait, we're not done, are we?
No, not even close.
Well, you, Devin, know that I found a theory that was obscenely similar.
Yeah, super similar. Yeah.
And thankfully, we have some folks out there who could help us with this because I'm probably going to butcher some pronunciation.
Even though you asked for help.
I asked for help, but nobody was quite sure if what they were giving me was right. But there's another theory that goes that Rather was assaulted by one or two Jewish men for reasons unknown. Mm-hmm. And it's New York. There's a sizable Jewish community in that city. So he may have made somebody angry.
Or it could have been mistaken identity.
Absolutely. You know, they didn't like him or they thought that he was somebody else that was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the reading that I found on this, they say that it wasn't Kenneth that was being yelled, but instead it's a Yiddish word. So again, this is why I'm not sure I'm going to do this right, but it's Ganef, which is Yiddish for thief or a dishonest person. Mm. So basically he's a liar.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I then started trying to, like I talked about earlier with the whole word substitution, because I love word jumbles, is try to figure out other Yiddish words that might sound like some of the phrasing that was used.
Yeah.
So I was looking for, I can't put the sentence together, I don't know Yiddish, but words that would maybe sound like frequency if you're yelling and you're beating up somebody and you're calling them a thief.
Mm-hmm.
I found a couple that might kind of work. And again, I might be butchering this, but this is Yiddish for princess, as in, I think it's princess as in a bit of a put down, but it's Prinzeth. It's Prinzeth.
Okay.
So my pronunciation is probably totally off on that.
Mm.
Or the other one is Prostok, which is an ignorant boor or a vulgar man.
Mm.
So I could see these words, if this other theory that I had where he's being attacked by a couple of Jews who are angry at him for I don't know what reason, then it could be that everything that was yelled at him was yelled in Yiddish.
Mm-hmm.
So he had no idea what it was, so he put it together as best he could in English. And please don't rely on my terrible pronunciation. But it could completely be that.
Hmm.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it could
also... That's the theory.
It could also be a mix of English. You know, it could have been where is it or what is it or something like that, and thief or what, you know, not what did you take. But, you know, I mean, it could be that a mix of accusations in English and Yiddish also.
Yeah. And maybe it wasn't even a case of mistaken identity. Maybe they recognized him and he had said something or another to upset them on the news.
Mm-hmm.
So they
also totally possible.
Him. Yeah, he's a goyim. They don't like goyim, and he's made them angry. So we're gonna take it out on you.
Well, yeah. I'm not sure that Jews don't like goyim.
Well, but if he has made them angry,
yeah.
Well, okay, you're not of the faith. Yeah. What the heck? We can justify beating the crap out of this guy. I don't know. I don't know. That's the theory, and that's kind of the short road that I ran down. Linguistics is not my area, so I kind of stopped short.
Yeah, it's always possible. I mean, it brings up another good point. It could have been a different language that he
could
was
have been all kinds
that.
Of languages. Yeah,
could have been anything. You know, it's hard to tell. The next theory is fun. I like this theory, and actually this is the theory that was brought to our attention the story.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. This is the number one copy-paste theory on the internet.
And since it's copy-paste, we're going to copy-paste it too. Because I think the telling of it is pretty good, and it's literally copy-paste. Everywhere I've ever seen it, it is literally copy-paste. I copy-pasted it into the script. I think that this is the best telling of it.
We're not going to just read it word for word, though.
I think we may have to do that. We're going to read portions of it. To give it its full due, we've got to read some of this because it plays into a bunch of pop culture references.
Yeah.
Because it's been around long enough.
Mm. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's do this.
All right. On the evening of October 4th, 1986, Dan Rather was attacked by William Tagger, who, contrary to popular belief, had a very good reason for attacking Rather. Bill Tagger was born in the year 2265. Bill Tagger is from the future. Bill Tagger is not of our planet. Well, technically, he is from Earth, but not from our Earth. Tagger comes from an Earth in a parallel universe, and he was sent here by the government of his planet. On Tagger's Earth, the entire planet is under control of one government. Tagger's worldwide government had been experimenting with time travel to parallel universes, which involves a warp of the space-time continuum for almost 150 years. Bill Tagger, a convicted felon on his planet, volunteered to be the first human test pilot on the condition that he be given a full pardon when he returned.
Does this sound familiar to anybody? It's called 12 Monkeys.
Yeah. Kind of like that, yeah. Which is, by the way, a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta see that again.
Yeah. On Tagger's Earth, the vice president of the world is a man named Kenneth Burroughs, who just happens to look exactly like Dan Rather. Before Tagger entered the time travel chamber, he was paid a visit by Vice President Burroughs and told that he had a transmitter implanted in his brain, and if he chose to remain in the section of time and space that he was being sent to and didn't return to the designated time, he would be barraged with messages to return until he came back and reported on his mission. Then, and only then, would the transmitter be removed and he'd be given his full pardon. Tagger's trip was successful, and he landed in New York on September 1st, 1986. All was going as planned, and Tagger had prepared for his return to his own time when he was mistakenly arrested for putting coins in expired meters. After spending 30 days in jail and staying on our planet for 14 days longer than he was supposed to, Tagger started receiving extremely hostile messages from Vice President Burroughs telling him to return immediately.
Politicians can be such jerks.
Right?
Yeah.
His window...
Why? How could he get 30 days for feeding a meter?
I don't know. I think it's not real, Joe.
Oh, you think so?
Back to story time.
Okay, sorry.
His window of opportunity had passed, and he would have to wait another week to try to return, and there was no possible way to let Burroughs know this. The constant voices were driving him insane. He wasn't even able to sleep at night. If there was any way Tagger could find a precise frequency that was being broadcasted to his brain, he could possibly override the voices and be able to sleep at night until he was able to make his return trip. As he walked on the streets of New York late on the evening of October 4th, 1986, Tagger saw a man who he thought was Vice President Kenneth Burroughs. He quickly came to his senses and knew that Burroughs would never make the risky trip himself and figured it must be Burroughs' double on our Earth. However, he thought, what were the chances that out of over 5 billion people on the planet, he would meet the twin of the man who had been sending hostile messages directly to his brain for 2 weeks? Tagger called out to the man, "Kenneth! Kenneth Burroughs!" To his surprise, the man, whom we know as Dan Rather, turned to see who was yelling and was knocked to the ground. Tagger repeatedly kicked Rather as he lay on the ground, yelling, "What's the frequency, Kenneth?" hoping to learn the frequency of the signal being broadcast to his brain to stop the voices. When Rather didn't respond, Tagger realized that he'd made a terrible mistake and indeed attacked Burroughs' double on our planet. He fled the scene and later missed his second and last chance to return to his home planet. Years later, in 1994, in an attempt to get in contact with somebody who might be able to identify the frequency and put an end to the voices that haunted him for so many years, Tagger shot and killed an NBC technician outside of the Today Show studios. Today, William Tagger sits in prison in New York. The voices, now an automatic message that replays itself every 20 minutes, still play in his head.
Damn.
I gotta tell you that's like having ringing in your ears or being on the train and hearing the announcement. Wouldn't you just tune that out after a while?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know if it's quiet for 20 minutes and then a message plays and then it turns off. That would be pretty awful.
I think that every now and again it would startle you, but I can imagine that after a week of that, you would just learn to not hear it. I mean, think about, I live near an airport.
Yeah.
Every now and again, I hear the planes going overhead because I'm in their circle pattern. But most of the time, I'll look up, oh, hey, there's a plane. And then suddenly realize that it is this ragingly loud noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the other thing he could have done was he could have gone to a neurologist and just said, hey, I'm getting weird things going on with my eyesight and stuff, and I think I might have a brain tumor. X-ray your head. They find the receiver in your head, and they have brain surgery on
you. Yeah, but
you
need health insurance for that.
Well, yeah.
He was a convicted felon in his time. He didn't have health insurance.
He didn't have anything in our time.
He didn't have anything in our time. He was stealing bread to eat, Joe.
Yeah, so go to one of those hospitals that specializes in poor people.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
The one thing I got to admit, I did, as you were reading this, it suddenly dawned on me and I wanted to check. Because I never figured out where this story came from.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I do have to give kudos to the person who wrote this, they actually, if it was written a significant amount of time after the event, they at least took the time to look up the population of this planet in 1986.
Because
they got the number right.
Yeah.
Well, so, not precisely right. It wasn't exactly 5 billion.
Well, it wasn't 5 billion. But how often is it they say, and there was 9 billion people on the planet in 1972? It's like, dude, you got the wrong year. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, at least they got that right. But I'm sorry.
Well, if they got that right, what's to say they didn't get it all right?
Yeah,
this
man.
Story has been around for so long. And did either of you figure out where it came from?
No, I have no idea.
No.
It's just... Probably it came from Tagger. I don't know.
The copy-paste syndrome tells me that it is something from a forum for fun.
Yeah, I think probably. Oh, yeah. It's probably one of those writing prompts. But yeah, like you said, I couldn't find out where it was from. I don't think Joe could find out where it's from. But I do like it. It's fun.
It's a fun one.
It's fun, and it explains it pretty solidly, I'd say.
Even
it's
super solid.
Even though it's not true. But
no.
It's still...
Well, it inspired a movie.
Did it really?
12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys?
Yeah. Supposedly, this story was kind of the basis for 12 Monkeys.
You know really? What else this story was the basis for?
No.
A song.
Oh, R.E.M.
R.E.M. That's right. Yeah.
Yep. What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Did you guys listen, after reading this, did you listen to or read the lyrics?
No.
Yeah,
did you?
Yeah. I do this with songs all the time. As you hear it and you're bopping along and you're having a good time, and then suddenly you read the lyrics and you go,
oh,
what
no.
is this about? Mm-hmm. This makes no sense. And that's exactly how this became a number one song. I don't know. It had a good tune.
Yeah, people didn't listen to the lyrics.
No, because if you caught yourself reading or, you know, going along with the words and singing them out loud and thinking about what it said, whoa, it's a weird song.
Yeah, that happens a lot with songs, though.
Way to go, R.E.M.
Yeah. Well, besides songs, this incident...
And a terrible
spawned
video.
A play.
Oh, that's right.
So can you imagine that? You have this embarrassing little dust-up and somebody beats the crap out of you, and now there's a song about it, now there's a play about it. I mean, it's crazy.
Was it? Which late-night show was it that Dan Rather went on with R.E.M. and...
Yeah, he sang a bit.
He performed with them. I think it was like The Tonight Show
or David
Letterman or something like that. But he at least had... enough characters say, this happened, fine, I'll play along.
Yeah, it's a major cultural turning point in our history, I mean, in our nation's history, so, you know, hey.
It was a major cultural turning point?
Oh, yeah. Not really, but...
I'm not supposed to laugh.
No more laughing for me for the rest of the show. Yeah, stop.
Don't make us go through like a shock collar.
Yeah. I was just going to say, Joe has an interesting theory.
Yeah, well, it's not actually my theory. This is...
Sorry, Joe found an interesting theory.
I found this theory.
This one was a team group effort, I think.
Yeah, we all kind of went off on our own paths on this one.
Yeah.
Which is unusual, but
it is.
It's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, so this guy, the guy who came up with this theory is named Paul Limbert Allman. And he wrote an essay in Harper's Magazine in December of 2001. in which he drew a connection between Dan Rather and a writer named Donald Barthelme. And Barthelme was kind of a postmodernist writer. I don't know that he ever wrote a novel, but he wrote a lot of short stories. And he did a lot of other stuff too. He taught at some universities and stuff like that. And he was actually a journalist for a while. He grew up in Houston about the same time that Dan Rather did. And he went into journalism around the same time that Dan Rather did also in Houston. Both of them started out in Houston. So it's actually quite likely that Rather and Barthelme, it's quite likely they had at least a passing acquaintance with one another.
Yeah, I'm sure they knew each other. Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
And they could have crossed paths in good ways or astonishingly negative ways. It's hard to say.
Always hard to tell.
Yeah, so Allman believes that Barthelme had had something against Rather, and that he possibly was behind the attack.
Huh.
And his clues were from some stories. Some of Barthelme's stories. There, one of his stories, actually a couple of his stories, a character named Kenneth appears in the story. So that's damning. And then there was another story.
Yeah.
And then there was another story.
Totally. Well, cinched it right there.
Yeah.
He must be guilty.
Yeah, he wrote another story which had an interesting passage in it. This is kind of a Q&A, like somebody being interviewed. And the story was called Kierkegaard Unfair to Schlegel.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like a story I'm going to go out and read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe in Russia.
Yeah.
Germany.
So here's the passage.
Germany, you're right, damn it. Yeah.
Answer, I'm on a train, a European train with compartments. A young girl enters, and it sits opposite me. The book is in her lap. Her legs are fairly wide apart, very tanned, the color of... Question, that's a very common fantasy. Answer, all of my fantasies are extremely ordinary. Question, does it give you pleasure? Answer, rather unsatisfactory. Question, what is the frequency?
Yeah, absolutely. He's guilty.
What is the frequency? Yeah, he's guilty as hell.
I really just call that writer's block.
Yeah.
Another
story. He wrote another story called, this is Barthelme again, called The Emerald, in which there's a character named Lather, who is a newspaper editor, who is a complete flaming pompous jerk. And Allman seems to believe that Barthelme based his character on Dan Rather, and he seems to believe that he had some sort of a grudge against Rather, and that was his motivation for... either being part of this or being behind this or perhaps just randomly inspiring this attack. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this kind of the idea that Dan Rather is the basis for a character named Lather, that I'm willing to go there. Yeah. I'm not willing to go there with the what's the frequency in the Q&A, and I'm not really willing to go there just because he named a couple characters Kenneth.
Yeah.
But hey...
Well, anyway, circumstantial.
Like I said, this is an amazingly weak theory.
Yep.
I'm not sure that I'm pretty sure that Allman was not entirely serious about this.
Well, I see here that you did give this... Actually, I've never seen you do this, but you gave this theory a score, Joe.
He did.
Yes, I did. Yeah, 3 thumbs up out of a possible 100 thumbs.
100 thumbs.
Yeah, yeah. So he also adapted this into a play called Kenneth, What is the Frequency?, which played a few months in New York City at the 78th Street Theater Lab in 2004.
I bet that was excellent.
Yeah, and that was also performed at the 2004 Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Of course it was.
And it got reviewed by Variety. They gave it kind of a tepid review.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I don't know. You cannot like a person and not orchestrate an attack on them and still make fun of them.
Yeah.
There is a bunch of people that I don't like and I make fun of, and yet I have never... contracted a beating on them.
Safe. Yeah. Good job.
That seems kind of extreme.
Yeah, I agree.
To go to that length for a guy you just don't like. What was the term? A pompous jerk, I believe, is the... If you consider a pompous jerk...
Well, the thing about it is,
the pummeling is, just... No.
Yeah, what's the frequency, Kenneth? I don't quite get that either.
There's no reason. Yeah. It's so that he can pepper really, really innocuous kind of references throughout his literature for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And garner attention for, well, it could be related, but maybe not.
But probably not.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, another theory... And this is, I think, our most solid theory so far, is that this was just a piece of performance art.
No, that's not real. That's not real. You can't fool me.
Yeah, Joe is now shoehorning random theories shoehorned theory that to start with.
Yeah. There's another theory out there on the shoehorned somebody ordered this as a hit kind of train that Steve ended up, I think, doing a lot of more research on than I did because he got really excited about it.
I really shouldn't have spent all of the time.
No, you shouldn't
have. Like Saturday when I got to bed at like 1:30 in the morning from being on the internet.
Nope, you shouldn't have. But it involves...
I was beating the bushes.
You were beating the bushes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Because this deals entirely with the Bush family.
Yeah.
Dan Rather has a reputation for, as his editors and producers will say, pissing people off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good at getting to the core and finding what's going on, or at least finding out how to ask the right question to really rattle somebody and get new things out of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a skill that is an admirable one when you're in that profession.
Mm-hmm.
He did not have the best relationship with George H.W. Bush.
Yeah, the first
Bush
one.
Senior.
Yeah,
yeah, the senior 41. Who was 1988 to 1992 was president of the United States.
Yeah.
Evidently, and during that time, when Bush was running for president, the whole Iran-Contra affair had broken open and like a nest of spiders. It was just, it was a terrible, terrible thing for people in politics. And it really destroyed a lot of careers.
Hmm.
One of the people that Rather went after was George Bush Sr. And I understand this is 2 years after the beating. I've seen, and I had a hard time trying to find an archive of all Dan Rather stories that was easy to go through. But
I was going
to
say, that would be massive.
Yes, it is a massive, therefore nobody's really put it together.
Yeah.
But even Dan Rather himself. But
yeah, he's got
a
website.
He does, but it's not all that user friendly.
Yeah, no, I've looked at it.
Yeah, but the point is, he wasn't afraid to go after Ronald Reagan and after George Bush Sr. And he seems to have, according to this theory, really, really peeved off Senior to the point that George Bush Senior sent a couple of guys after him to beat the crap out of him.
That seems legit.
It seems fair. Yeah.
Hey, you're a political figure. You're the vice president of the country. You can do whatever you want. According to this theory.
That's
I'm not
going
to say that's true, but that's according to this theory.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
As long as you don't get caught.
And, of course, then they beat the crap out of him. They say something that I can't even draw a guess as to what it means. But this, of course, then prompts Dan Rather to do his failed ambush on George Bush Sr. in 1988.
Mm. Yeah, it didn't work out so
it
well.
It didn't. Okay.
For him.
This, for anybody who doesn't know, Bush Sr. was running for president. He was still the vice president, and he agreed to go on CBS to do, I think it was about a 9 or 10 minute interview with Dan Rather about his presidency. And immediately Dan swings it back to the Iran-Contra affair.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into the whole thing. Watch it. It goes terribly. Senior takes the reins away from Dan Rather.
And tears him a new one.
And tears him a new one and runs the whole thing.
Yeah.
I actually started, I was watching it on YouTube. I actually pulled up another website just so I could look at something different. So I didn't have to see George Bush Sr. in his 1988 terrible giant glasses. And Dan Rather with the look of the deer in the headlights because he was just getting ripped apart.
Yeah.
But from then on, I mean, the family, he and the family have not gotten together, gotten along well.
Yeah.
There's, the Killian documents?
Well, see, I think that moment might have been the beginning of Rather's downfall.
It was the beginning of the downward slide, though that took almost 20 years.
Well, it did a while, but you know, he had his chance. He had his chance in 2004 when W was up for re-election.
George W. Bush, Jr.
43. And he had his chance, he hoped, to try to take him down and make him lose that election. And he got some, obviously, pathetically forged memos from this guy.
So wait, George Bush Sr. was the 41st president.
Yeah, Bush was
and
Bush
Jr. was the 43rd.
Yeah.
And yeah, so go ahead, because I was going to explain it, but you know this.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Killian documents.
Exactly. So he had this informant, his name was Killian, I believe, and from Texas, and he had a couple of memos purportedly from Bush's Air National Guard commander way back in like the 60s was when he was in the Texas.
Because he was
Air
getting
National
preferential
Guard.
Treatment to stay in country and fly jets and not go to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Although in Bush's defense, he actually volunteered to go to Vietnam.
He did, but there was a number of, I read a huge article and I can't remember what Texas magazine about quite a few senators' sons that didn't go, and they all ended up in the same unit. And it was kind of, I think they called it the hot tub unit, because it was an easy gig. You could do whatever you want. You weren't actually going to go to war, so who cared?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be kind of nice.
And of course, well, the problem is, of course, Rather aired this story on CBS. It was wrong.
He did not
do his due diligence. Turns out...
No, he didn't.
Somebody actually did a great gif on the internet of
I
this
saw
supposed
that one.
Doc. They say it was typed up on a typewriter. But when you take this doc and you take the scanned version of it, and then you superimpose on it Microsoft Word, Times New Roman font, in Word, on top, it's exactly identical. Like somebody just photocopied something they printed out of Word four or five times.
Exactly,
to degrade it.
Exactly.
And nobody at CBS fact-checked it. And that's what got Rather kicked out on his ear.
Exactly. They actually had people lined up to authenticate the documents. And it was just, you know, Rather was so beside himself with eagerness to get this out there that he didn't bother consulting with those people. Immediately, there was a viewer on the East Coast saw them on 60 Minutes and spotted the Times New Roman format or font immediately.
Mm-hmm. Default font setting. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very, if you look at Word, you know exactly what we're talking about. Same spacing, same everything.
Yeah, and hilariously enough, his producer who got fired for this, her name was Mary Mapes.
Mara Maples?
No.
It was Maples. Her last name was Maples.
I thought it was Mapes, just M-A-P-E-S. It could be Mapes.
There's
Mapes,
an L in there, but anyway.
I'm pretty sure it's not, but anyway, she published a book afterwards claiming that there had been a big conspiracy at the heart of the whole thing, because this guy posted on the East Coast to a website called Free Republic. Well, their servers are in California, or at least they were then. And so when he posted this right after 60 Minutes went off the air, but of course it was time stamped with the California time. So it actually appeared that he posted this before 60 Minutes had even aired. So therefore, thereby is born a big conspiracy. It's BS.
There's all kinds of political ramblings, and we don't need to go into those political ramblings because we all have our own unique views, and that's perfectly fine. The point is, Rather and the Bushes didn't get along, and somehow George H.W. Bush was behind the beating that Dan Rather got for unknown offense.
That's the theory. That's the theory.
Yeah, it's wrong.
It's wrong.
It's better than the time traveler 12 monkey theory.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Oh, there's actually.
Yes, it is. Yeah. You are. So many foul words want to come out right now. No, it is way better than that.
No, I don't know. There's one more theory that we should discuss.
Okay.
One more thing about the Bush theory, though, is I think if they had really wanted to give him a pounding, they would have done it right. They would have pulled him into a taxi and taken him out to a field somewhere and kicked the living crap out of him.
They
would have given him a really good beating.
Well, but the idea could have been, let's get him beat up in public and make him look like a fool to tarnish his not his credibility, but his image. Oh, wait, you're the big man behind the camera or in front of the camera, but you can't defend yourself when you're walking down the sidewalk. That's just as plausible.
It is.
But we've belabored that enough.
Yeah, I think.
Devin has one more.
There's another theory?
There's one more.
What is it?
It is that William or Bill Tagger was a crazy person.
Could have just been in
and
that case.
And attacked Dan Rather because he thought he was monitoring him.
Yeah, actually, you know, I mean, cases...
There's a lot of support for this, actually.
Well, yeah, it's actually not at all unusual for mentally ill people to assault other people on the streets of New York
especially high-profile ones that they see on the TV all the time.
So it turns out that the reason that Bill Tagger tried to walk into the Today Show with a rifle is because he thought he needed the rifle to defend himself because... He thought that the people from the TV were monitoring him, including bugging his car.
Yeah.
And that they had been watching him for a number of years. And that he, I don't know why he thought he would go there and defend himself. But that was the story that he told. He said he took the rifle because he thought he needed to defend himself.
Didn't he say also that they were beaming messages into his head?
Yes.
He also said that he had information that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
He was going there because he had the information they wanted and they were requesting his presence or something to that effect.
Yeah, so he had to take the rifle to defend himself while he was there with them.
Makes sense.
Well, but did you guys read that he was so sure they were bugging the news media in general is what he's talking about.
Yeah, in general.
We're bugging everything in his life to the point that he went out and rented a car.
I know.
He didn't take his own car. He rented a car so that the bug couldn't be in it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He was, I think he genuinely did think this. There's a lot of support.
I think that he was sadly had some serious issues going on.
And he said when he was arrested and sentenced and he spent his time in jail in Sing Sing, all the documents from there say, you know, he says he drunk socially, that he, you know, smoked pot every once in a while, but he wasn't, you know, he didn't have a problem with alcohol.
He wasn't an addict.
Yeah, he wasn't an addict.
He was just crazy.
He was just crazy. I mean, there's no was. He's still alive.
Yeah, he's still alive.
But that kind of does make sense for why he might try to beat Dan Rather up. If he thought that the news media was bugging him or following him, if he just happened to see somebody who he thought legitimately was monitoring his life, walking on the street, by happenstance or not, he would try to defend himself from that person and go and attack that person and start beating him up. Why he would be yelling something even remotely like, "What's the frequency, Kenneth?" I don't know, but hey.
I have two things to say on that.
Yeah.
One, what's the frequency, Kenneth? May not know what was said and misremembered. Or Tagger may have been in an altered state, not drug or alcohol induced, just in an altered state.
Mm-hmm.
So what he thought he was saying didn't come out what Rather heard. And so Rather than did his best to interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've read the same court docs that you have. You know who's not ever mentioned in those court documents?
Dan Rather,
yeah.
The second man.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
you know, it's,
well, of course,
it's the man on the grassy knoll. The second man is never mentioned. Suddenly, Tagger is taking all responsibility actually, I don't even think he's taking responsibility because he's not admitting guilt. He's just saying, these are the things I did, and this is what my problem is.
He didn't talk about the Rather incident.
He never talks about the Rather thing.
So he wouldn't raise the whole second man thing.
Exactly, but all we have is his psychiatrist. Is it psychiatrist or psychologist? I'm going to guess psychiatrist.
I thought it was psychiatrist.
His psychiatrist's information about this whole thing. So that to me is like, well, what happened to the second dude? And if he's been so open about what he did, why is he not admitting to just wailing on Dan Rather?
Yeah, and also, like, where do you find a second man who's like, oh, yeah, the news media is totally monitoring your whole life. You should definitely go beat up Dan Rather. You know what I mean?
That guy was probably from the Bush family or a representative of the Bush family.
They sent him after them. That's probably how it is.
This guy knows the neighborhood that Rather lives in, you know, and he finds this random crazy guy who thinks the media is, like, doing all this stuff to him. And this guy's like, yeah, you know, I kind of think you're right. You know, I think you need to go on the offensive. And hey, look over there. It's Dan Rather.
Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know. I don't think that that's the right one either, but...
I also...
I kind of like it, though.
I want to point out, this is New York City in the 80s, the mid-80s.
Yeah, that's back before they cleaned their act up.
New York was a rough town.
Mm-hmm. Lots of crazies running around.
Lots of folks running around. Not the safest place to be. And it is possible, I mean, we talked about this before, it's just a random attack.
Yeah.
I hate to admit this, but I've seen this happen on the streets of Portland where one person jumps up and starts chasing after another to do them harm. And the second, or I guess it would be a third person, hops up and chases along to see what's going on and suddenly sees a shot to, or an opening to get a shot in, and suddenly becomes a three-person fight.
Yeah.
So that could very well be what we're doing, which is one of our very first theories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a nice town at that time.
Yeah, or it might be that Dan made up the second guy because he didn't want to admit he'd gotten his butt kicked by a single crazy guy.
By a single homeless dude.
Yeah.
But also it's possible that, you know, he did see a second person on the street who wasn't involved at all.
That he
got punched from behind, went down, saw that there was somebody else standing there, got up, ran away. This person was chasing him and started beating him up again. And he just assumed that person standing on the street was involved.
And that third person was basically pulling a Nelson from The Simpsons,
mm-hmm.
pointing and laughing. Ha ha!
Or not even, I mean, or just saying, well, I really don't want to get involved with that. Bye.
Whoa, did that really happen?
Yeah.
Whoa, thank God they ran away.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Dan Rather was an experienced journalist. And like all experienced journalists, he gets almost everything wrong. I think that's probably basically why this whole thing kind of doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with that unsatisfactory ending...
Wait, I thought you said everything. This was not unsolvable, Devin.
It's not unsolvable. All we have to do is find Kenneth.
Well, get out a phone book.
Yep.
Let's start.
Damn
looking.
You and Joe's logic.
Yeah.
See, it'd be easy if we could just find Kenneth.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find links to some of our research, probably at least one of those copy-pasted websites, just for fun.
Only one of them.
Only one, not all 12 that we researched. You can find that, and you can listen to the show on our website, thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. You're probably not listening to us there. You're probably listening to us on iTunes. If you are, subscribe, leave a comment and a rating. That's how people find us.
Yeah. And a good rating is usually preferred over a really bad rating.
We don't really care.
I prefer reading the nice ones, though.
Yeah.
Actually, the bad ones are kind of amusing sometimes. But don't leave a bad one just on that account.
Yeah.
A nice one's better.
Yeah, it's way better. You also could be streaming us from just almost any streaming site of all times ever, or streaming app. You can find us on Twitter. We are Thinking Sideways. You can find us on Facebook, Thinking Sideways Podcast. There's a page and a group. You can email us at thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. You can also, I always forget, you can get merchandise. If you won't, you can wear a shirt of ours.
Won't?
If you won't.
Yeah. Won't?
If you won't.
It's a southern thing.
Oh, okay.
It's a young person thing. Calm down.
All right.
That's how we say it. God.
I won't what I won't.
Yeah. You can wear a shirt of ours. You can have a phone case of ours. You can have a creepy weird nightlight.
I just fixed our logo t-shirt. One of our listeners brought it up that there was a bit of an issue with it, and so we went ahead and fixed that, so it prints and is much better.
It's pretty awesome. Now, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it looks like it's supposed to.
It's all on Zazzle. You can find the link to that just above the donate button on our website. It's on the right-hand corner.
There's a little picture of swag there now.
Yeah, cool. Hmm. Anything else to add?
Oh, let me think. No, we are working on other products for you. Hopefully one of these days we'll have like a beer cozy and maybe a bottle opener.
And AK-47K.
And
a car cover. And
we're making custom Toynbee tiles.
Yes, custom Toynbee tiles.
Yeah, you can have a Toynbee tile in your own driveway.
I have to email Zazzle tomorrow.
Because,
oh my God, if we can get them to make those,
that would be
awesome.
I like the idea of a Toynbee tile kit. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I think it's called Home Depot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, that all having been said, since we have nothing else to contribute to this unsolvable case, we're going to get out of here.
All right. Yeah. Sounds okay. Good.
All right. Talk.
Later, everybody.
What is that frequency, though?
120 milligertz.